Welcome to Listeners' Voices. This morning, April 13th. Thank you. I'm Fran, one of your hosts here.
And this is Frances.
Thank you. So, the subject for the day is Lake Superior. People's experiences or feelings about it or the impact on their lives. And we've got some really nice, interesting submissions here. If you're not familiar with the show, we announce a prompt about this time of the week, every week for the following week, and invite submissions written up to around 500 words, I think we're saying, or 3-4 minutes recorded.
But we're generously flexible.
Yes, especially until we get to so many submissions that we have to choose. Right, or expand the show to 2 hours or something. But so far, if we have something that goes a little overboard, that's no problem. And our email to make those submissions is, you remember it?
ktwhwriters@gmail.com.
Right. And written submissions or your voice, your smartphone could record a voice memo and offers ways to share that. And one of them would be to send it as an email to us. And let's see. Well, I want to give you a preview, too. After we spend 30 or 40 minutes on the prompts of the week, we'll also share a kind of a field report from the totality of the solar eclipse. I was able to be there with Peg Zahorek, another volunteer here at the station, and we have we'll just kind of give a report on that. And the unfortunate thing is the whole thing was Frances's idea in the first place, and then she didn't get to go. But yeah, let's see. So what else might we want to share before we launch into what's happening here? I guess we could talk about, give an early preview of next week's
prompt and when it's due.
Oh, right. Timing. Right. So this came up in conversation with Frances and me a few weeks ago. Do you notice that certain smells trigger memories or emotions from your past? That's what we'd like to hear about next week.
We'll talk about it a little bit more at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I'll tell you what triggered my thoughts about that.
Right. Yep. And that might help you all think about it. I've got the old deadline on here still. Actually, the deadline, we moved it from Wednesday nights to Thursday noons now. Anything we...
Noons? Yeah. Any of the noon hours.
Yeah, preferably the first one, 12 o'clock noon on Thursdays would be when we'd like to get them by, and then they'll be shared the following Saturday, just at a time like this. Also, you should know, this show is repeated Monday at 9 p.m., whatever airs today, and then it is archived on our, will be archived on our site, the website, which is ktwh.org/listeners-voices. It's under the programs drop-down tag if you go to direct address directly.
And if you do go and watch those or listen to those and something gets jogged in your memory and you want to submit it, we'll accept late entries.
Absolutely.
So if something comes up for you, please share it.
Right. Yep. And the ones, just briefly, a few off the top of our heads. The first, we started out with contributions about what the weird winter we just experienced, but at that time we were still in the throes of it. But if you have afterthoughts about this season we just endured, we welcome those. Anything about businesses you remember from the past in Two Harbors or wish that we had here now?
Pets.
Pets, right. Animal companions of all kinds. And what did we just finish last week? jobs. Oh, yeah, jobs. First jobs.
First jobs.
Lessons learned.
There may be different permutations of that in the future.
Right. Exactly. So Frances said, we welcome late submissions to later submissions to any of those on any of those subjects. So we are going to launch off to get us in the mood here a little bit. We get to hear Edward Ojard, local young pianist, and he has several CDs out, all of his own composition. And we're going to hear his song here, his tune, his composition, Sunset on Lake Superior. And then we'll launch into Richmond's contribution of the week.
Hello, listeners. This is your roving reporter, Richmond, coming at you from the prompt, What Do You Love About Lake Superior? Or Mother Superior, as I like to call her. What do you like? What do you love? What are some stories? Well, I moved up here 4 years ago from Minneapolis and fell in love with the North Shore. And Lake Superior was like a magnet. I've always enjoyed being in and on and around water. And I had never been around a body of water like this, so big. It has calm days, it has stormy days, dark days, bright days. It's cold and sometimes even barely swimmable. But anyways, I love the lake. And my current passion is taking videos of big crashing waves. And as some of you may know, I make music videos and then I do electronic ambient music for these and create these nature music videos. So big crashing waves is a really popular theme for me. Anyways, I love to go to the Breakwall, Stony Point, those are the two main ones. Look for the direction of the wind, the velocity of the wind, and then just start watching those waves. See where they land, how frequently, what do they look like in the distance? Am I going to blow over in the wind? How should I position myself? Anyways, it's a whole thing. It's kind of become a hobby for me. And even though some friends might sometimes be nervous and say I'm a little reckless, I really always feel safe wherever I am. Anyways, that aside, boy, the most recent winds out at Stony Point were totally awesome. I got some great video footage, and for me, a good day is when I get wet.
Sitting here watching the waves roll in and the waves roll out, waiting for a ship to come in. Picking up stones and throwing them in, will they skip or sink in? Counting those ripples on the way. I love the breeze when it blows in my hair, and all is clear in the cool fresh air. There's no place that I'd rather be. Wide open space as far as you see. And the waves roll in and the waves roll out, splashing on the rocks they tumble about. The waves roll in and the waves roll out, in the summer sky where the seagulls fly. The waves roll in and the waves roll out, out here on this fine sunny day. When it blows in my hair, and all is clear in this cool fresh air. There's no place that I'd rather be. Wide open space as far as you see. And the waves roll in and the waves roll out, splashing on the rocks they tumble about. The waves roll in and the waves roll out, in the summer sky where the seagulls fly. The waves roll in and the waves roll out, out here on this fine sunny day. Out here on this fine sunny day.
So that was Robbie Meyerson, Waves... Superior Waves. It was running off the screen there, but thank you, Becky, for that suggestion. And that was especially appropriate. Richmond has some fantastic videos he referred to early in his submission, and you can access those through our website. Not our website. Well, maybe our website too, but if you go to YouTube and put in KTWH, we have our own website, our own YouTube channel. And we share his videos there. I believe there are three of them so far that accompanied music programs he put together for us, Agate Bay Dreams. Highly recommended. Thank you, Richmond. Okay, next we want to hear Katya's written submission here. Francis will share with us here.
Katya Gordon. It would be impossible to overstate the impact of Lake Superior that it has on me. My first trip ever north of Chicago in 1991 was headed to Ely, and we took the scenic to Two Harbors. Wow. I never forgot it. 15 years later, our family had sailed from Lake Superior down to the Caribbean, where we were struggling to find our purpose. It was a deeply honest interchange. Mark and I realized that we would happily give up the glamour and warmth of world cruising for Lake Superior's pristine waters and northern climate. Starting a charter sailing business in 2010 and then a youth climate sailing program in 2013, we are on the lake for half the year, savoring the lake even as we try to save it from global warming and all the effects this has. Living just a block from the lake with its public access in town is one of the greatest blessings of our life. The end. Not the end, I'm sure, because season after season, I'm sure their memories are continuing to unfold.
Right. And Amicus? I'm never sure. Amicus?
I saw it. I was looking for a charter boat
for
a trip for my daughter and I to take, and we found it. And they do these incredible tours of the Canadian boundary water areas. One of them has a waiver in which you have to say, I may not come back from this trip. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah. When I had a, you'll hear about my trip that I didn't know if I was going to make it back from a little later in the program today, but that's a good
foreshadowing
thing for them to have, yeah. And also Sea Change is the name of their program for taking college students around various parts of Lake Superior, doing some environmental education along the way with schools they encounter along the way. Just wanted to make you aware of those two things. And we have one of my favorite songs about the lake, and this is something I've probably heard Katya play herself on her own show, so we'll hear this next.
As the wind slips over your waters, sing to me sweetly, Superior. Sing me a Chippewa story.
So, I had her name written. It's such a familiar song. In fact, that goes back to the NPR Keepers, one of the Keepers CDs. If you were a longtime Minnesota resident and listener to Minnesota Public Radio, they had a morning show that had a lot of favorite songs they would play during it, as well as some really funny skits. Anyway, that was Carla Sciacchi, or Sciacchi, however. When I went to find the source of this, I was surprised it went that far back. But now that I think about it, it's not as surprising as I thought. So I did want to share the fact, we were just talking about that my best experience on Lake Superior was on a sailboat tour that Katya and her husband Mark did, and with about five friends, I think. And that was really nice, and I didn't ever worry about my safety or whether I'd make it to the end of that journey. It was a really nice time. They sail out of Knife River. Okay, moving on here, we've got a submission from Becky, who has also suggested some of the music in this show. We appreciate that.
This is Becky in Two Harbors. The prompt this week is Lake Superior. I first saw Lake Superior when I was 6 years old. My father had an opportunity to buy a small piece of lakeshore between Grand Marais and Hovland and the logs from a cabin that had been moved. His brothers helped him reassemble the logs, and we started making family trips to the cabin. Going to the North Shore always felt like going somewhere special. My brothers and I would watch for the first glimpse of the lake coming over Thompson Hill, to see who could spot it first and just the joy of seeing it again. Some years, my mother and my brothers and I spent most of the summer by the lake, and Dad joined us when he could. Other years, we were only there for a few weeks. That cabin was sold about the time I graduated from high school. By then, I was thoroughly imprinted on belonging to that big lake. Watching waves, seeing the horizon, finding agates and other stones, walking the beach, all were fascinating to me. I could spend hours just watching the lake and seeing all of the many moods it could take, from glassy calm to roaring breakers. I can still be mesmerized by watching the changing surfaces of the water as a wave rises up into a curl and comes down into foam and splash. Our little piece of beach was mostly small stones with a couple of outcrops of larger stones that waves could splash on. We called one the automatic shower. We drank water directly from the lake, hauled up the hill to the cabin in buckets and run through a cheesecloth. I wouldn't do that anymore. It was truly a magical place for me, a wonderful part of my growing up years. I lived in the North Country, but not next to the lake, when I was in my 20s, including some years in Duluth. Then there was a decade in the Twin Cities, always with trips back to Lake Superior. And it was pulling me back. Visiting wasn't enough. So I moved back to the North Shore in 1992. I feel so blessed to live close to Lake Superior. I see the lake most days. I still watch waves and look out at the horizon and pick up stones and marvel at the many moods of the lake. And Lake Superior still feels really special.
Wood fire flickers, shadows on the wall in the nightfall. Pulls a blanket upon us all. Bone bare branches against the sky. Solitude smiles at the snow. Ice cold waves wash hard upon the shore and the wild wind knocking at your door, and the water will whisper a love song in your ear. Come near, I will always be. Birdsong beckons on the air, buds on the branches open like a prayer. The crashing of the waves carve your name upon the shore evermore. It is you I adore, and the water love song in your ear. Come near, I will always be here. Flowers white, yellow, pink and blue, berries and black bear, eagle flying true, lady slipper loops on, stories in the stone coming home. You will never be alone. for the water will whisper a love song in your ear. Come near, I will always be here. Grass turns to yellow, the ferns are brown. Chill in the air, frost on the ground. Fire fill the leaves, and they fall on the forest floor. Breezes blow and bring them to the shore, where the water wills.
Sorry to pipe you down there, Sarah. That's Sarah Thompson and Paula Peterson, from their album In Winter Wanderings, Lake Superior. And I wanted to do better by the previous music we played here, the Robbie Meyerson. That was from her album, The North Woods, Watching the Waves. And I think I neglected to say the title of the piece we played after Katya's submission with Carla Siaki. That was Under the Quarter Moon. Also, the Edward Oljard, otherwise known as Eddie Oljard, instrumental, a piano piece we launched off with, was from his CD, Two Harbors, Sunset on Lake Superior. All right, let's see. What do we have coming up next here? I guess that would be mine.
Go.
Following this, yeah. So I'm going to, this is written out, so I don't have to ad-lib it, but I do have a little edit to make in the as I read in progress from some more information I got since I wrote this. So two main thoughts come to mind for me with Lake Superior. One, the story of probably the scariest experience of my life, and the other about its psychic effect, the unspoken role it plays in keeping my sanity. First, the terror. In the 1980s, I worked for Rick Tofty, local land surveyor, as a field crew chief. The field crew was usually just one other person and myself, so it was not a big deal. But I was also the instrument person, the one standing at the transit making observations and measurements and telling the crew member what direction to go one way or the other, a fraction of an inch. One year we had a contract with the Nature Conservancy, I think it was, up on the Susie Islands, a cluster of about 13 islands in Lake Superior near Grand Portage. It called for camping up on the islands to save a lot of travel time. So we three, the crew, and then including Rick this time, packed up all the survey gear and our respective camping supplies and drove Rick's truck. I thought it was his fishing boat, but actually it was one we rented up there, I guess, at Grand Portage. I don't remember exactly where we launched, right at Grand Portage, I believe. Wherever it was too far from the Susies, given the current conditions. And what I thought I remembered, and then I had the good fortune to run into Rick yesterday to verify that actually I remembered this correctly. I thought maybe I was exaggerating. It was only a 14-foot fishing boat, possibly a 16-foot. And maybe in calm conditions, that's nice on Lake Superior, but these were not calm conditions. And it was just a 10-horsepower motor. And we were probably ill-advised to be heading out at all, but spent hours driving up there. So getting back to my written version here, it wasn't precipitating, but it was a much windier day of choppy and rolling waves on the big lake than anyone would ever choose to launch an open fishing boat. But it must have developed as we were working our way up the shore, and by the time we got there and see the conditions, it really was too late to do anything else anyway. So we launched.
Can't go back now.
Right. There's really not a climax to the story. Obviously, we survived. But I have a clear memory of holding on to the gunwales of that simple, open aluminum fishing boat for dear life as we bounced along on the with the underpowered motor, half expecting to get swamped by the crashing waves and wondering why we weren't turning back. Why we launched in the first place, and resigned to possibly dying in short order in the icy water. We were totally bundled up, as I recall, so thinking it must have been fall, but on the other hand, it's possible to be that cold at any time of year on Lake Superior. The rest of the week, with several trips to the various islands, went without incident, as I recall, and the return to Grand Portage was apparently uneventful. I don't remember anything about the rest of it. But that was my first and last trip on Lake Superior in a fishing boat. And, yeah, that it was terrifying, I would say. but now in the next reading we're going to have, which was anonymously submitted, he actually made this statement that I'm trying to make in the next paragraph here much more eloquently. But I just wanted to say something about that the lake serves a quiet but critical role in my life, which is hard to put into words. It's the vast open space, not seeing the other side, except for the coastline of northwestern Wisconsin for a bit, living with breathing space versus feeling surrounded by either urban or rural landscape, a visual pressure release valve. You can stand on its shore and not see any evidence of human existence other than a stray oar boat or occasional pleasure craft off in the distance. I just can't imagine living in a city anymore without feeling claustrophobic in short order. I'm grateful beyond words for landing here next to the built-in air conditioner and the mental health support being. So because this song refers to the icy waters of Lake Superior, I'm going to play this next.
Wisconsin, that's understood. I've never been to travel, and I work in the woods. I run by your rivers, I hunt in your pines, and my grandpa was a foreman in the iron ore mine. You are the best thing I'll ever see. Superior, you look like an ocean to me. Your factory of winds, your collection of gales, keep me awake in the night with your wails. And you're so damn cold. You're so damn cold. John Peck was a sailor whose whole life was spent sailing the ore boats and paying the rent. Now you bruised him and you beat him. He loved you well, kind to him sometimes. You put him through hell. And I knew old Joe Mackey. He was a trapper by trade. His hands was as hard as the traps that he laid. He got the muskrat and the mink. He got the fever sometimes. He lived in your hills and he followed his line. You are the best thing I'll ever see. Superior, you look like an ocean to me. Your factory of winds, your collection of gales, keep me awake in a night with your wails. And you're so damn cold. You're so damn cold.
Of course, is Lou Orsani Quartet, Lake Superior Waltz. Beautiful. Sorry to cut you short, too, but we think...
It got a good taste of it.
Right.
That's one, but it used to be, I haven't heard that in ages, but it used to be one of my father's favorite songs, and I just realized.
And I know I've heard it before, too, and couldn't have come up with it, but it was a no-brainer for a couple of the other volunteers here knowing what we were doing. They said, oh, of course, you're playing Lou Orsani, right? Oh, yeah, sure.
It takes a village.
Yeah, but then hearing it, of course, I recognize it, too. So we have an anonymous submission here. We will disclose it as a station volunteer.
I will just read it as written. And here it goes. Mm-hmm. Superior. Thoughts by an anonymous non-sailor. What does Lake Superior mean to me? Subtitled, Why Not Ask? A Mote of Dust, the Meaning of the Cosmos. Whenever I want to explain to anyone from outside the Midwest where I've chosen to live my adult life, I say I live in the Northeast Minnesota. That usually gathers a dull gaze back. People who judge this part of the country by their memories of the movie Fargo wonder what stereotype of accent or attitudes applies here. They ask me, Are you near the Twin Cities? I try to help them out by saying, I live near the shores of Lake Superior, northeast of Duluth. That helps, but they never seem to have been there. But often they'll add, Hey, it sure is cold and snowy in Duluth, right? The Lake Superior part mostly mystifies them. They blurt out, Superior, like the Gordon Lightfoot song? It becomes clear that they imagine the lake as this gateway to an obscure North American wilderness somewhere east of the Rockies. A select few recognize its special as Superior, an inland sea, a lake of cold mystery, something magical but also really remote, hardly a thing to be immersed in or fully experienced by but the boldest or most reckless sort of folks. When I take the time to think about it, in almost 40 years of life on the North Shore, I've spent right around 10 actual boating days on the Big Lake. I've been along the shoreline in Knife River and Washburn in a kayak, but aside from swimming off Knife River Beach, those brief moments were the only times I traveled on Gitche-Gumee under my own power. I know people with boats that can manage the lake well when it's calm. I've sailed on a couple of large vessels that handled well on the Superior, even in big winds. Whether foolhardy or not, I actually felt like we were in sync with wind waves in the expanse of the open lake that in really could easily swallow us without a trace. I felt a similar connection with Lake Superior on small sailboats, although these boats were vessels, I'd be reluctant to board if the weather weren't even remotely in question. The rugged motorboat that we took across the reach of the South Shore from Bayfield to the Apostle Islands inspired great anxiety and awe. That Boston whaler pounded through the midsummer waves, taking on water over the bow of the boat that drenched our kids. They laughed nervously. It was powerful, pounding the boat, making this about the most vigorous 16-mile excursion of my life, partly because we couldn't really see our destination until we were nearly at the dock on Stockton Island. Realizing how calm the lake was when we finally reached the harbor, I tried to imagine what this crossing would have been like if Superior had been in a grim mood. To such as me, a landlubber, who enjoys the thought of sailing more than the actual doing, the lake reminds a treasured constant and assuring landmark in the rhythms of my daily comings and goings. It's a reassuring presence, yet an imminent mystery. A reliable way to orient ourselves with the places we frequent along the lake or away from it. Lake Superior, in our folklore, it's a domain of ice and numbing cold. In reality, that my species is poised to turn our great lake into something less mysterious and less bone-chilling, yet also richer in non-native species and pollution, that gnaws at me. It makes me realize that this grim sea change is happening on my watch in the scant decades since I moved here. I can't take much credit as one person for all the threats the lake faces. It takes a united front by reckless society to take down the greatest of lakes. Some of us will live to see whether we can make a difference in the coming decades, if we can respect ourselves and the lake enough to maintain it for the next millennium and beyond.
Thank you. Got a little reality check there at the end. I really like what you said about it being an orienting presence in our lives. Leo visited another friend of the station, Bill DeRoche, this week, and was able to capture him reading his poem in his own voice, Lake Superior, and we will get to listen to that right now.
This is Leo Babeu for KTWH. I am in the home of Bill DeRoche in the village of Knife River. We're a couple hundred yards or so from the shores of Lake Superior in Bill's kitchen, and going to ask Bill to read from a wonderful poem he has written called Lake Superior, My Lake of Life. And I'm going to ask Bill to tell us a little bit about the poem and what the lake means to him.
Lake Superior, subtitle My Lake of Life. My lake of life that gives the blue to the heaven's eye, the emerald green that spreads ever outward to give life its dreams, its white caps that move ever onward and tell me I cannot stand still, the icy blue stare that beckons me to look ever deeper in life, its thunderous roar that lends itself to the applause for life, my lake of life, ever giving, never asking, the place of my refuge in the time of my turmoil, its shimmering sun's reflection to help us dance for joy, the day of calm that gives life its rest to renew one's quest for life, my lake of life, ever giving, never asking, the shroud-covered days that renew the mysteries of life, its gloomy, mournful days that gives time to remember those who have gone, storm-tossed anger days to teach us to clear the anger from our souls, moonbeams upon the water that calm the spirit and brings forth love, ever giving, never asking, my lake of life. Now, Leo asked me if I would talk about the poem and what the lake, trouble the lake is going to have. Well, the poem actually took 12 years to write, and it came about because prior to this, I had lost my wife and son in childbirth. And I was in a turmoil myself for many, many years after that. But I would always go to the lake when my turmoil would come. And then the poem began. And like I say, I could do a little bit of it, then put it away, because it was actually painful to write. And I took my time, but it finally came to where I thought it was finished. And I'm glad I wrote it because so many people have enjoyed it. Now, the trouble with the lake that's coming to us, it doesn't freeze over anymore. That means it's evaporating all year round. It's also warming, and we may lose all of our cold water fish if that continues to happen. Also, if the lake continues to warm, we are going to get major algae blooms in the lake. And that's going to be a tough thing for a lot of cities. They're going to have to find ways to move their pipes further out into the lake to get some fresh water. Around Isle Royale, there already is algae blooms. So we can expect more in many more places. So I hope this will give you an idea that the lake means to us, and that we have to do our share to help take care of the lake now. Thank you for listening. Bye. Thank you.
That was John Agaki. He's from northern Wisconsin. His piece, oh, shucks.
A Little Music on the Rocks, Lake Superior.
We'll leave it at Lake Superior. I guess that was it. Okay. Thank you, John. He's performed for us before. And thank you, Bill DeRose. That was a very moving piece. And he's a great addition to our community here. I think Leo has hosted other of his poetry as well. So we're going to wind up the Lake Superior part of the show with just a little bit of sounds from the lake. This is from the Apori website that has sounds from of all kinds from all around the world. And this is Pakaskwa National Park up in Ontario, just some waves from the lake. Here's a little bit there, but it's the same national park still on Lake Superior, and it's just east of the very northern tip of the lake.
One of these days I'm going to have to circumnavigate.
I've just been thinking the exact same thing. Looks like a great place. And zooming out on this map, there are also some recordings. I saw one from Gooseberry. There's Castle Danger, and I think that's at Gooseberry Park. This one, the Kramer Aid Station, but we won't get into all of that right now.
So if you are traveling around the area or on this Great Lake and happen to be able to capture some sounds, go ahead and add them to the listing on Apori, apori.com.
Right, apori.org. And they have some pretty explicit directions there how to make your contributions. And there must be, I think there would be hundreds of thousands of recordings on this site and from all over the world, all kinds of, not just nature things, but every kind of thing. Well, we better move on here. I do want to share a recording from the eclipse this week. And I quickly want to just give you some background. So Peg and I drove down to near Flora, Illinois, and targeting that as a place, the longest duration of totality for anybody with this particular eclipse was about 4.5 minutes. And we thought, well, if we get into about 3.5 minutes, that would be good. We didn't want to be too close to the edge of the zone of totality, and 3.5 minutes into it would be sufficient. Now, in retrospect, that 3.5 minutes went by so fast that I actually wish we had driven right into the 4.5 minute stretch. I thought, well, what would be the difference? 3.5 minutes is a good exposure. But we didn't quite go into town. They were having some event there. We didn't want to be around hordes of people. But we were attracted to this little family scene by the side of the road, partly because they had a telescope set up. So we went back, parked next to this family. It was a grandfather, a father, and three kids, about 8 to 12 or so, I'd say. And they had driven down The father was really psyched up about this. The father and the grandfather and the kids were just kind of bored by the whole idea until a little later, as you'll hear in the recording. So this is about 6 minutes from beginning just about a minute before totality, but we've already been observing lots of changes, and you'll hear us mention some of those. At the end of the recording, for a minute there, for about a half a minute, we thought we lost Cooper, that our Peg's dog that came on the trip with us. And we hadn't paid any attention to him during the totality because we were focused on the sky. And suddenly, then it passes. It's quite evident when totality ends. The sun just, I was concerned about that, if we'd know when to stop looking, when to put our glasses on again, but there was no question. It's instantaneously, suddenly, it's almost as bright as the whole sun when the little bit peeps out. Then we look around, where's Cooper? And we end with the recovery of Cooper. anything else I wanted? I guess not. You'll hear my alarm on my clock go off, alerting us to the totality beginning shortly and then ending shortly. And I might narrate a little bit along the way if there's something I wished I had mentioned. Possibly you had to be there. This might not be that fun to listen to, but but you'll get an idea of the pacing and the impression it makes on people.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that?
You got your eyes.
Oh, my God. It's getting so dark.
You got your eyes open.
Oh. I haven't been staring at the sun.
I might as well be walking.
Oh, my God.
Just a little tiny bit.
I've already got these.
Bye-bye, son. I'll see you in 3 minutes.
That was alerting us that
totality
was coming within seconds. Sorry about the dog continuously barking in the background.
Is it all the way behind it?
Nope. You do not have totality. You got your alarm set, right?
Yeah.
All right, quiet down, guys.
Wow. That is wild. Wow.
And
we can just look at that now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. I think that's Jupiter then, right? With it?
Yeah. So there's the comet should be up here.
It's right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's in between there and there. That's Jupiter and that's Uranus.
Yeah, that's right. Uranus is high, right?
Wow. I can't get that picture to come in.
Wow.
I'm not gonna even worry about
that.
That
is so
Well, hey, don't look at the sun before you want to look for the comet.
I know. My eyes are still adjusting.
Wow. It looks like sunset sky over there.
Yeah. All around.
And the birds are really singing.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yep.
You're right. Sunset sky.
On a moonlit night.
Oh, man.
1 in the morning on a moonlit night.
Wow.
I can't find that comet. You think so? No, you can't. Yeah. Now you can look at anything you want to. You can find it broken, whatever you want to. You can look at it if you want to.
I want to look at it.
Oh my God, there is the sun. Look at
the sun.
There's Saturn.
Oh,
Saturn.
It's already like
that's Venus.
It's already. It's gonna the totality ends soon. You can't look at it.
Okay,
sometime in the next minute.
Yeah.
I see it.
I can't find it.
It shows it white.
Dog stopped.
The bird stopped.
Wow, that's spectacular.
Yeah.
It seems like it's just getting better.
Oh my God!
It's lively. It's really beautiful.
Be careful! It's almost at the end of the galaxy.
Yeah, I know.
Start coming out. Oh, there's a red spot.
Yeah,
there is a red spot.
In the telescope, you can see like a red ring going around
it. Coming out.
Yeah. Yep. Ring of fire.
Coming out.
No.
Yeah, you can see the red. You see the blue on the other side?
You can see the red where it's going to start coming out. No, it's going to start coming out.
It's peeking. It's coming out.
All done.
Yeah, here it comes. That's it.
Here it comes. Daylight glasses again.
Wow.
God, that little sliver is so bright.
I know. You put it on and that it's just barely
bam. Somebody turn the lights on. Yeah, look at how fast it's getting light. Look at this.
Oh my God. Dude, that was...
I wonder what that red spot was, because that's not where it started coming back then, the light. And that was more on the left, and this is coming over the back from the right. Maybe it was a big flare or something.
There was supposed to be a bunch of big flares going on.
Yeah, I didn't...
I was seeing big flares.
I don't know what... That's light flare, so I don't know. Big one for small.
Well, NASA was super invested in this one. That's what I'm saying. They had, like, all these paths set up to study corona. Because they're trying to learn about the solar flares.
I don't know the difference between big flares.
They didn't pop the beer.
But I see flares.
Well, I was watching that. The solar flares, some of them are smaller. Well, that was worth the drive.
Cooper!
There you go.
Jared, can you send me a picture on the phone?
Cooper!
I will.
Well, he's right over
Chill,
here.
We got another right 80 minutes here. Of this.
He's with the kids.
Oh, yeah, he's over here.
God.
Oh, yeah, he was doing the eclipse over here. When it started getting light again, he looked at it. I'm like, hey, how
are
you doing?
Weird. I thought it was bedtime.
I was shocked. I looked over there. I thought, where is he? Thank you.
Okay, well, that gives you a sense. Maybe you had to be there to appreciate that. I don't know. The fireworks were coming from that town that we were located just outside of. And, well, it's coming up on noon here. We will quickly announce the prompt for next week is smells. Smells, certain smells that bring back memories or emotions for you from your past. We'd like to hear about that. So, again, by, what, noon on Thursdays is the deadline now for next week's show. And also, if you had an eclipse event that you want to share with us, it's never too late for that. Never too late to say more about Lake Superior. This is KTWH LP 99.5 FM in Two Harbors. And enjoy the rest of this beautiful weekend. Goodbye, Francis.
Afternoon. Oh.